You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, welcome back. Good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, last day of July, July 31st. 2025. This hour, we're going to be talking to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets and the latest economic news, creating an economic picture that is as hazy as the skies of Wisconsin right now with all that wildfire smoke. It is tough to get a read on what exactly is happening right now, other than that it is the economy is kind of smoky, kind of sluggish, the way that we're all feeling right now. We'll talk to Chad Holmes. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki. All that coming up. First meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to talk about the smoke and the haze. And, you know, it's nice not to be rainy anymore, but we can't seem to buy that perfect day, you know, of sunny skies, not too hot and not too smoky. The quest for the Goldilocks weather goes on.
It still does. I wish I could just push a button and deliver that for everyone, but
we do too, you know.
It's one or the other. We're getting far and few between perfect summer days. You know, either the humidity's cranked up, we're getting showers and thunderstorms, or some wildfire smoke. And that's the day today. And some of that could linger still through tomorrow. So right now, air quality, unhealthy statewide, very unhealthy into areas of Appleton, Green Bay, Door County, the Northeast, Northwoods, north of Wausau. It is getting worse by the minute there. It's kind of seeping down the lakeshore a little bit. So right now, you know, I'd suggest staying indoors, taking it easy. Don't overexert yourself, stuff like that. We're all feeling the symptoms, whether you're healthy or not. It's kind of affecting a lot of people. This is going to stick here today pretty thick. It does want to start to move north and west slowly late tonight. So areas of Milwaukee, Madison, you should see some relief hopefully by tomorrow. But the rest of the state, it still wants to linger. Maybe through the morning, gone by the afternoon is my hopes. But we are still stuck with this cloud of wildfire smoke. And there's a ton of wildfires up north and out west. And of course, today we've got the high pressure. Unfortunately, that is the reason why this is here. It kind of settles the air, brings it down to the surface. And this dry stretch sticks with us. We are looking dry today, tomorrow, into the weekend. Really, chances of rain are only minimal on Monday and Tuesday into next week. But before that, we still have to battle some big waves on Lake Michigan today. It is breezy down by Milwaukee, gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Those waves are climbing 4 to 6 feet, so some dangerous currents out there, but comfortable. Low to mid 70s statewide today, mid to upper 70s across the state tomorrow and through the rest of the weekend.
And from Tom in Jackson on the text line, he simply says, how much rain yesterday? Well, zero up here in Chippewa Falls. I don't know anybody else's, but it was a goodly amount that fell throughout a big course of the day in the southern half of Wisconsin.
Yeah, there definitely was. You know, I didn't look at totals either, but when I was tracking it yesterday, it was putting down at least a good half an inch to an inch in places.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tony up in Ashland says, just give me my 15 below zero weather. All this mowing is ridiculous. Well, Tony, you got to call Robin Tigerton. Have him come up and do the mowing for you up there in Ashland. Problem solved. You're welcome. So thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Hey, coming up tomorrow on the program, right at this very moment, after Brittany's all done with her 8 o'clock weather, we will be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She is a candidate for governor, and we'll be talking all about her decision to run, the career path that took her to this point, and where she would like to take Wisconsin if she is elected as next governor of the state next year. So again, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, tomorrow at this time, here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Chad Holmes is here now from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. How are you doing?
Doing terrific. How about you?
Doing okay. Again, this haze is a little weird. You know, you try to rise above it and say, look, it's just, you can't do anything about it. But it really does, you know, take a little something off your fastball. you know.
You're right. No, you're exactly right.
It's, when it goes, when it
this
goes
morning, on. This has been the best morning of the week. I know the we still have the haze, but temperature-wise, it yes. is. I love these kind of mornings when you come into work where you have that coolness in the air. I mean, when I walked out the door this morning, it was a little surprising because I had not been used to it. It had been so warm and humid for the last number of days. Boy, it gets a little, you may get a little bit more on the fastball when you feel the temperature a little bit cooler yes. like it was today.
Yeah. What have you been following? You've had such interesting guests lately, and well, I want to give you a chance to talk because, again, for folks that aren't aware, I think most of you are by now, but we do have these local breaks at 720, 750, 820, 850 for some, not all of our stations, to do a little local update, get a little local news, a little local interview. We've talked to Earl Ingram about his podcast, James Kelly and Jimmy Cusk about stories they're following, and I always see you posting on Facebook about some of the guests and topics that you're doing over there in Wausau, so that if folks can't get it over the air on the radio, they can get you through the Civic Media app. So tell us what you've been doing.
You know, what I am trying to do here, and it's kind of odd that we're coming up. I mean, I've been actually tomorrow is the third anniversary of Civic Media taking over WXCO. It's August the 1st of 2022 at 12 midnight. So it was, I still remember the folks from, it was a very small operation back then, but coming up here to try to get everything turned over so the programming would be ready to roll. Were you on August the 1st of 2022 yet, or was it after that?
It was about that time because the original show was 8 to 11 a.m., and I believe it took place on that day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because, I mean, and you has probably been around it in broadcasting when you have major changes like that where you have to get a lot of new equipment to get all the programming in. So obviously that was very, very hectic that day. But one thing that Civic Media continues to do, one thing that I'm trying to do is to continue to evolve and try to have that right mixture. And I'm having a mixture basically of talking about a lot of interesting people and I think a lot of interesting stories and also trying to, you know, be a little bit, I don't know, for lack of a term, edgy at times with some of my opinions.
Spicy. Spicy is the way that Tony puts it. Hey, look what I found. I found it here. We kick off August 1st, 2022, episode 1. By comparison, where are we at today on shows? Oh, Lordy, I've lost it already. Because we've been doing this for a good
this
long
is
time.
Show number 613.
613. So August 1 was show number 1, 2022. It says, we kick off our brand new radio show with Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. And yes, we talk about how hard the goats are working to clear invasive species out of a city park. We get into PFAS contamination and her early endorsement of Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes for Senate and the highs and lows of being mayor. We also talked to Nancy Stensel about Marathon County's new threat to groundwater, and it's part of a lawsuit. There's also a lawsuit about Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, and Ron Johnson. Should they be booted off the ballot for supporting insurrectionists? So we've been topical, Chad, you and I, since day one when we started this thing.
Yeah, some things stay the same, and some things change. And you were talking to our mayor 3 years ago, and I'll be in the next local segment talking a little bit more about our mayor right now, Doug Denny. And I am frustrated with this whole process. And I don't know, maybe I'm being unfair. I know that that sometimes justice takes time, but at the same time, this was in broad daylight. I don't understand what the Wisconsin Department of Justice is doing that takes this long. This week we had a meeting with the Wausau Ethics Board. Their investigation has closed, but now they have the hearing, and they're going to have a hearing coming up. And one of the things that's frustrating to me is they're going to be forced to subpoena a few folks that are public servants in order to get the relevant communication between themselves and the mayor during that time frame last September when he put on the hard hat, he put on the vest, and went out there with a camera and removed a Dropbox.
Right.
And I mean, this is not a case where, boy, we got to find out who did what.
It's such a mystery. Yeah, yeah.
But
no.
The thing that really frustrates me, and I don't know, maybe I'm off, and you can tell me I'm off on this, but we have a number of folks that are I would say, public officials who are refusing to share communications and documents with the mayor during this time frame, saying that it's too broad. Or if you ask me specifically, I can be able to help you in this way. The chairperson of
trying to get around open records, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the chairman of the ethics board said a couple of them sound like they came from the same folks in terms of the writing of it, that maybe a lawyer was involved in it.
Yeah.
But beyond all of that, the thing, I mentioned this yesterday, the idea that you are a public servant and you're trying to play these little games. Oh, it's too broad. If you ask me specifically, then I'll be able to help you.
Oh yeah, delay. They're learning from Trump.
But no, the thing that really annoys me about this is that as a public servant, you should be stepping forward with any information to make this system work, not playing games to try to play, you know, whack-a-mole here. You missed me. That's frustrating to me.
Well, it should be because you're essentially an accessory at that point. You're helping somebody get away with something, which is exactly what you would say to all of the, you know, Trump apologists out there that are running roughshod over the rule of law. Is they're not just being good foot soldiers to Trump. No, they're being accomplices. And why wouldn't you want to get to the bottom of something where, yeah, somebody you would normally support is doing something wrong, and you should be willing to call that out? And we've seen a real abandonment of that American value lately.
Of good government. Mm-hmm. I mean, another example, this is nationally yesterday. I'm sure you saw the state of Texas pushing forward.
Oh, yeah, with the gerrymander.
Gerrymander. Mm-hmm. And it's all so blatant now. Donald Trump says, Donald Trump, say what you will, the guy is incapable of hiding his crimes.
Right.
I mean, he just talks about, yeah, this will be great for the Republicans. This will keep the Republicans in power. Again, it's like the idea of good government is so passe now. And now we're forced into a situation where Democrats are forced to say, well, you have to fight fire with fire. And frankly, I don't see how you can't. If one side is not going to acknowledge or going to play the rules differently than you do, it's a terrible spot to be in my
opinion. It's exactly what I said on Todd's show yesterday. He asked about this Texas map situation. And I said, this is very difficult for me to say, but I can no longer in good conscience tell people in New York or California, oh, no, you shouldn't do that because, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. But now it's more like, don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You're in something now with people who are so dismissive of the rule of law and fairness that you have to look at the full level of options, you know, before you. And while I would not be the one to initiate that bill in California, New York, or some other deep blue state to say, you know what, we're going to reconfigure too, just to maintain balance. I might not be the one to introduce the bill, but I could no longer say I would vote against it.
And unfortunately, and I was reading a story on this, that the rules in New York and California make it more difficult to blatantly do a political gerrymander than it is in Texas.
I wonder why that might be.
But doesn't that say a lot in itself?
Yes, it says a lot about values and where they are strongest and where they are more antithetical to, you know, the freedom that they love to talk about but don't really want for everybody. Chad Holmes has all this and more in his segments on 98.9 WXCO. Catch him there and on the Civic Media app. Follow him on Facebook as well. Chad, thank you so much as always. We'll talk to you again later.
You bet.
All right. Have a great day. Coming up next, well, some of you are going to get a local update. And then when we're all back together in our next half hour, we will get some news from the economy with the opening bell from Sean O'Malley and then Joe Zepecki, all coming up here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, if you haven't heard it before, there is one dirty little secret that is the basis for this show. It may be called Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, but this is not a vanity project for Pat Kreitlow. The whole reason I agreed to do this, was, we should call the show Mornings Where Pat Kreitlow Tries to Get More Subscribers to the Up North News Daily Newsletter, and now the new weekend newsletter as well. It's why I hit on it over and over and over again. We love building up the amount of subscribers who are following the things that my Up North News team does throughout the course of the day. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner, and you can subscribe to our weekdays and to our Sunday morning Wisconsin politics newsletter. We'd love to have you along with us. Sean O'Malley joins us now with a Wisconsin take on territory he's familiar with. That would be Wall Street and the economy. And as I described it before, an economy with data that is as murky as the smoke that is floating across Wisconsin right now. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. Trying to stay indoors due to the air quality, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. We both would rather be on our boats right now. And it's just not great conditions for that at all. Now, let me try to head something off at the pass here, because there was a positive number on economic growth. And a whole bunch of MAGA is saying, you see, the economy is good. Why are you holding back? The economy is good. And I want to acknowledge that there are some positive numbers out there. The thing is, and this isn't just me, Sean, you're seeing it from all the experts as well. It's that you still can't really tell from the numbers 6 months into the Trump term whether what he's doing. There's not a recession right now. He didn't crash the economy in 6 months. Let's not give him a trophy for that, because the record is decidedly incomplete, Sean. That's my view.
Yeah, that's correct. So what we're seeing, Pat, is a lot of, due to the volatility of, you know, everybody knew tariffs were coming. So we've seen this sort of pendulum swing back and forth. So we saw first quarter GDP going down 0.5%. Second quarter GDP came on much stronger at 3%. We saw consumer spending go up 1.4%. So those all look good, but in those numbers, there are some not so great numbers. For example, exports are down 1.8%. Tariffs are having an effect there. Imports are down over 30%. Now, part of that's because I think people, again, knew the tariffs were coming, ordered big in Q1. So the number went up 35% in Q1. In Q2, we see it crashing back down again, so coming back to more of a normal level. So this is the sort of volatility that Trump's tariffs are having on the broader economy. We've got a couple other pieces that are interesting to note. We know that the Federal Reserve left rates unchanged. Now, there's the footnote to that came out earlier this morning, and that is, you and I have talked, the CPI index came out 0.3% higher in June. That was already reported earlier this month. What we're looking at now is something that was just reported that the Fed looks at more than the CPI, which is the consumer, you know, purchasing expenditures, the CPE index. That also went up 0.3%. So that's a really big jump. And the inflation fears that led to that Federal Reserve decision to hold rates steady and not cut them seems now to be, of course, the right move, given that we're seeing more inflationary pressures start to emerge in the economy. So the tariffs are having an effect, and we certainly have seen it on a micro level as well. I mentioned to you that Ford, a company that I worked for proudly many years ago, reported their earnings yesterday, and they reported an $800 million impact due to tariffs. That's just for Q2. They're talking about roughly a $2 billion impact due to tariffs for fiscal year 2025.
And that is, again, what does that do to their hope for, you know, a profit or for sales? I mean, are you basically saying the tariffs negate any benefit they would get from increased sales?
Well, Ford was lucky. They actually beat their revenue numbers here in Q2, but it's sort of, you know, we beat them by better than 10%. Congratulations. Tariffs took most of the profit of that away.
Yeah.
If you look at even the earnings before interest and taxes, and so you still have to figure in the interest and taxes on top of it, that was a number small. It was only about $660 million, so smaller than the impact of the tariffs themselves.
Well, because I know that lately the president and others have been like bragging about the what they call the revenue from tariffs. And I forget what it was. It was $150 billion. They're right. saying the government has brought in $150 billion because of our tariffs.
Correct.
That's a weird way of saying we've increased taxes on Americans by $150 billion because they're still trying to sell us the, you know, the snake oil that foreign governments pay this. Right. It's consumers that do.
Right. Foreign governments or foreign corporations. No. The U.S. government only has taxation authority over entities and individuals that file taxes in the United States. Foreign governments, foreign corporations don't file taxes in the United States. So that means the only way they're going to get money is from you, me, and, you know, companies inside the United States. So, yeah, they're really proud that they have taxed us an extra $150 billion. And, of course, you know, those tax cuts to, you know, mega billionaires that we're also subsidizing, I guess we should be proud of those, too. I'm not sure what the point is. I don't think Elon Musk needs any more yachts to water ski behind, but
no. Look, they're sticking to their talking points, and let's just see how long that lasts. We're talking to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets, and we'll continue that discussion coming up. And then we'll talk a bit with Joe Zepecki about a week that has actually gone a little bit quieter than expected. I have to admit, I thought maybe we'd see more people jumping into the governor's race right away here, and that has not been the case. I'll get Joe's impression on that coming up as well. The Brewers took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, but they got thumped yesterday, 10-3. Still, the Brewers have a 1-game lead over the Cubs in the National League Central. They're off today, heading to Washington, D.C. to take on the Nationals this weekend, and then they're in Atlanta early next week. Live from Lake Wasota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network with all kinds of outlets in many states, all kinds of newsletters, video series, and more. One of our newest newsletters is Below the Beltway from Cam Stevenson, Courier Newsroom's new Capitol Hill correspondent. You can get it on Substack at beltway.news or at couriernewsroom.com. Joe Zepecki is standing by. First couple of final moments here with Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. Wall Street, the markets have been open for 5-6 minutes now and opening very slightly mixed. And mixed is really the way that we're kind of looking at the economic news here, Sean, from the New York Times story yesterday about this mixed bag. Many forecasters expect a further deterioration in the months ahead as tariffs work their way through the supply chain, the federal job cuts filter through the economy, and stricter immigration policies take a toll on industries that rely on foreign-born workers. And so that's really why we're saying it's not that the glass is half empty or half full. It's that we don't really know what's even in the glass yet, I think.
Well, that's true, Pat. But we're seeing, you know, the American consumer is not stupid. Consumer confidence, which was at an all-time low last month, went up a little bit, but it's still at 97.2, which is well below the 100 mark. And above 100, that means, you know, people are optimistic. 97.2, people are not optimistic. That's number one. Number two, we're looking at some of the impacts of that that were described in that New York Times article already forecast. Now, we know tomorrow morning we're going to get a non-farm payroll number. Right now, the expectations are between 110 and 120,000 jobs. That is extremely low. We have seen it sort of limping by between the 100 to 150 range every month, you know, previous to this this year. But this is the lowest that we've seen forecast wise. And we are seeing also an expectation for unemployment to start ticking up. And as we talked about earlier with more specific example of Ford, we're seeing the impact of the tariffs starting to hit profits. So there are a lot of unknowns. The Fed seems to be taking prudent action by not cutting interest rates, but there's not a lot to cheer about. There's a lot to keep watching for, unfortunately.
So again, no participation trophy for President Trump for not crashing the economy, simply taking what had been the strongest recovery post-pandemic and taking us into the muck, which is where we, you know, we're still waiting to see what direction we go in the muck. Sean O'Malley, thanks so much as always. Hopefully you can get out on the boat soon. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you much.
All right. Let's bring in Joe Specky now at 8:38 to talk about the week in politics in Wisconsin here and other stories. And Joe, I guess I'm going to be the first to claim that I was surprised. I would not have been surprised to see half a dozen people announce since last Thursday afternoon when Governor Evers said he wasn't running for governor, announce their own campaigns for governor. That's not to say that we won't get a half a dozen or more candidates coming in, but I was wrong. I thought a few others were like prepping and were going to want to be one of the first ones to get into the race. What was your impression?
Well, I want to talk about this from the very like political operative standpoint.
Sure.
Which is, once somebody has first mover advantage, what's the rush, right? Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez was ready to go. And by the way, I tip my cap to her and her team for being ready, right? They have made clear, the governor has made clear, she didn't have any forewarning. She didn't have any, you know, super secret heads up about this, but she knew this was a binary reality. The governor was going to run for re-election or he wasn't. And if he wasn't going to run for re-election, which is ultimately what he chose, she was going to run for governor. And so she and her team were ready to go. Once that has flown, right, and somebody is the first mover, for the second candidate, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many it ends up becoming, there becomes less of a ticking clock of you have to get in. And I think the calculus becomes more, you want to get in the best way you can with all of the ducks that you can possibly get in a row lined up and tidied up. And I offer that as someone who was part of a gubernatorial campaign that launched in the first half of October in 2013. There's nothing that says you have to be announced before Labor Day the year before. We've got a long way to go before the next, before a year plus from now's August primary, mm-hmm. and then another several months before a general election.
And to pull back the curtain a little bit on one of the favorite talking points, that, you know, the gotcha moment for the lieutenant governor, that are like, she had posted something to YouTube and it was listed as secret until it was time to announce. That's how YouTube works, yeah. Is that you create videos that you may or may not want to make public. You list them as private until you're ready to release them or delete them. And like you said, she was ready to go,
yeah.
So that when it was just a matter of unchecking that private box, so to have it ready ahead of time isn't the gotcha moment that some folks think it is.
No, it speaks to, I think, the kind of leader Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez is, which is somebody who is strategic and looks out along the horizon and tries to figure out what's coming up. That's the kind of strategic thinking and vision you want from somebody in an executive position. So she did a great job. It's a fantastic announcement video. Like, I think it turned a lot of heads, because let's be honest, lieutenant governor is not the highest profile position in the state. You are not in the newspaper every single day. There are, you know, there's lots of attention on you during the campaign, and then you are sort of, you know, a little bit more behind the scenes. Now, Rodriguez has been out there working her tail off for the last two and a half, three years, but this was the first time that a lot of people really got to see her. And I think they saw someone who's dynamic, someone who has a real sense of who they are and what they want to do, and the capacity to communicate what we're fighting for every single day. And that's what it takes to be successful in today's political environment. So I thought a really nice job by her. And in the week since, she has started to get some of that political ridiculousness. And she is doing exactly what you want to see, which is she's not taking any crap. She's punching back against nonsense from the right. And I think a really, really strong start to the campaign for Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez.
And by the way, the nonsense, and I've used up most of my firepower in the 6 a.m. hour of the show when I went after the folks who, again, were saying, well, her husband, you know, undocumented? Shut up. He's a naturalized American citizen. And while Trump and others may be, you know, talking out loud about taking away people's naturalized citizenship, A, they can't do it. B, shame on you. C, naturalized citizens, by and large, are more qualified American voters than a whole lot of people who were born as citizens, given the hoops that they wanted to jump through, the work that they did. And so for anybody who's already going with that smear, you know, never mind everything that I just said about how low that is. The lieutenant governor's response was something along the lines of, that's not going to lower anybody's grocery bill. That's not going to do anything substantive for the voter. And that's exactly the kind of perspective to put on this.
Yeah, she's hit every note in the first week. And now we sort of see who else is on the list of thinking about it and getting ready to go. And she will not be the only candidate, but it's a question of how many other people jump in and how quickly they do so.
Yeah. And one more note that the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, will be joining us at 8:05 tomorrow here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Looking forward to the visit. And again, as more candidates get into the race, we are looking forward to talking to all of them so that folks who take part in this primary and all the other primaries feel like they're making an informed decision, because you and I both know how big these fields can get. You can get eight candidates on the ballot and you go, I don't know, how do I pick from one of these? Well, we try to talk to them one by one by one. And with the lieutenant governor running, that gives us a chance to mention that in Wisconsin, you don't run as running mates until after the primary. You get stuck with, to put it bluntly, your running mate, because people run separately for lieutenant governor. And then the winner of the gubernatorial primary and the winner of the lieutenant governor primary, now they run together as a ticket in November. And it is it's not a mystery that there have been governors in the past who had a first choice for lieutenant governor, but that person didn't win the primary, and so they got a lieutenant governor that was not their first choice.
Yeah, and I am old enough to remember some of that. It's a quirky way to do it, but it's the way we've got. I am looking forward to a robust start to the gubernatorial primary for the remainder of 2025. I would throw out a note of caution to folks who are considering running for lieutenant governor, which is, let's see how the top of the ticket race is shaping up before everybody just rushes into this thing. Because there is some strategery involved when it comes to what the ticket should look like, or there ought to be. And you don't need to run for lieutenant governor for 450 days before an August primary. And so, you know, I hope that the rest of this calendar year is about beginning to see first impressions from the gubernatorial candidates and seeing who is kind of rising to the top. And then we should start the conversation about who's going to run for lieutenant governor, in my view.
That's a great way of putting it. And to remind folks again about, you know, who gets on the ballot and how do you get on the ballot? Anybody can say they're a candidate right now. You can say it all you want. But the way you get on the ballot is collecting so many signatures on what's called a nominating petition. And you can't start circulating those until April 15th of next year. And you turn them in on June 1st of next year by 5 p.m. So it's at 5:01 p.m. on June 1st that we will actually know who is a real candidate for governor and for all these other things. There's no rush. Nobody's collecting signatures anytime soon here. So I really like the perspective you're putting on this, is to have the long view on this kind of thing.
Yeah. And listen, and we should have a robust debate about who we want to lead our party. That stands in contrast to what Senator Ron Johnson thinks should happen on the Republican Party, which is, he doesn't think there should be a primary. What he's saying is, by the end of this year, the Republican candidates for governor should get into a room, he didn't say whether he wants it to be smoke-filled or not, and just decide who's going to be the candidate. And I just think that's a great illustration of the ways in which the Republican Party rightly gets questioned these days when it comes to their commitment to democracy and letting people decide. On the Democratic side, there's not going to be any, you know, smoke-filled or otherwise back room. There's going to be a number of candidates who go out and make what I hope is a proactive case, and don't spend months tearing one another down, because this moment we find ourselves in is way too important for that. We need to ensure that whoever the Democratic nominee is emerges from the primary ready to run strong in the fall, we've got to keep our eyes on the prize.
We're talking to Joe Zepecki. Local update is next for some of you. For others, Joe and I will continue to ramble on here until the top of the hour. But in the few seconds I've got left, I see you wearing a Brewers cap. So you did not burn it and get rid of all of your other Brewers memorabilia simply by losing to the Cubs yesterday. You didn't say, that's it. It's over.
A lot of baseball left. I'm liking where we're at.
As well you should. So 2 out of 3, the Brewers are off today. They're heading to Washington. They will be taking on the Nationals, and game 1 of that series is tomorrow. 5:10 the pregame tomorrow on Civic Media Stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. And tomorrow is a free ticket Friday. We're going to provide a keyword. You text that keyword to us on the Civic Media app. If you can get tickets delivered to your phone and use them electronically, those will be tickets to the Friday game next week against the New York Mets at American Family Field. So stick around for free ticket Friday tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlaw. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Again, tomorrow, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be joining us at 8:05. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along as well. Courier Newsroom National Political Editor Kia Vakil, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. We'll have Mike Clemens with sports. Greg Bach will join us for our history lesson at 6:50. Just, you know, another, your typical jam-packed Friday morning here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Joe Zepecki is with us, and it is, like we said, a bit of a slower week in politics this week, which enables us to talk about some of the other things that are going on. And some of them, all you can do is let the headline pass and recognize it. Here's one you didn't know I was going to bring up, but it's right here. The Centers for Disease Control has a new leader, and for the first time in more than 70 years, not a doctor. Does not need a medical degree to head the Centers for Disease Control. Now, to be clear, Susan Manarez is a health scientist, but we had set the bar a little higher once upon a time in America.
Yeah, and we've still got Laura Loomer's crazy brain running personnel for the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. We saw the top vaccine official at the FDA step down this week because they got pressured out. And there's a cost to this, which is we're devaluing science, we're devaluing research, we're devaluing part of what made the United States the envy of the world when it comes to our intellectual capacity, intellectual property, the concepts and abilities that we created in this country. And I, you know, the other night I was watching with terror the fallout from this massive underwater earthquake mm-hmm. near Russia as tsunamis were barreling towards Hawaii and the West Coast. And just thinking, my God, all we can do is sort of hope that this is not as bad as it could be, because the Trump administration has cut the National Weather Service and science and research. And there will be a cost to this. Thank goodness the cost wasn't higher this past week. But at some point, the bill for these kinds of choices is going to come due. And whether that's in future measles outbreaks, whether that is, deaths faster than they would have happened otherwise because of cuts to Medicaid, whether it is just a long-term loss of American competitiveness because we no longer value science and research, this is one of the major through lines of the second Trump administration.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a second about how one of Trump's personal attorneys is now a federal judge with a lifetime appointment. But let me set it up this way. A big part of the reason Donald Trump got to where he is and where the MAGA folks are is they noted that the system is broken. And they said, you know, this system is broken. Let's do something different. And far too many people defended a system that frankly is in need of fixing. And I'm thinking specifically of what are known as blue slips, you know, where U.S. senators weigh in on a, you know, a judge's a potential judge's nomination. And there are a lot of antiquated, you know, arcane things that we find in Washington and that we find in Congress. The problem that we keep finding out is that, well, yeah, the system might be bad, but if you don't fix it, then somebody else is just going to come along and destroy it. And next thing you know, you got guys with lifetime tenure to wreak havoc on the independence of America's judicial system.
This is one of the most disgusting things that happened this week, was the confirmation of Emil Bove to be on the Court of Appeals for the 3rd District. There were 3 different whistleblower reports alleging very concerning behavior and decisions by Bove at the Department of Justice in just the first 6 months, up to and including suggesting the Department of Justice should just disregard court orders. And for Republicans like Chuck Grassley, who throughout his career, which is, I mean, half a century at this point, the guy's, you know, the guy makes Joe Biden look like a spring chicken. He has been a champion of whistleblowers and tried to strengthen protections for whistleblowers. And rather than investigate these whistleblower reports, rather than take the time to get it right, he just said, I don't care. I'm going to vote to confirm this guy, despite these concerns. Ron Johnson voted to confirm this guy, who, as a top Department of Justice official, said in meetings, according to these whistleblower reports, we might have to tell the court we don't think we have to follow what you decided. That is deeply, deeply troubling. And for Chuck Grassley to turn around 48 hours later and whine about President Trump being mean to him because he might do away with the blue slip, like, what are we doing here? And so not another great week for the long-term health of our democracy.
No, not a bit. Time for one more, and I like the way that you frame it. Redistricting Fight Club, except, you know, Fight Club, you're not supposed to talk about Fight Club, but everybody's talking about the fight over redistricting.
Yeah, so usually every 10 years this happens. We take a census, and then the states redraw their maps. That's how this should work. We have seen over the years an increase in the number of just straight gerrymander plays. And now we're seeing it basically halfway through a 10-year period where Republicans in Texas think they can essentially redraw themselves 5 more seats and make it harder for Democrats to win control. So what you have in response to that is Illinois and California saying, well, if you do it, we're going to do it too. And so it's a gerrymandering arms race to try and have politicians pick voters as opposed to voters picking politicians. That is also not healthy for our democracy. It is rank politics. It is what people hate, and they are right to be frustrated. And buckle up, folks. It's going to be, it's going to stay crazy for a while.
It most certainly is. And Joe Zepecki is going to track it all for us here on Thursday mornings. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it so much. Have a good start to the weekend.
Talk to you next week.
All righty. And thanks to all of you for being with us today. Again, we've got a busy one tomorrow with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us, along with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Key of the Keel, our Week in Review panel, Mike Clemens with sports, and so much more. I'm Pat Kreitler, founding editor of Up North News, the outlet for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll see you back here Friday morning, 6 a.m., right here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.